friendships. But the Lord was always faithful. And with each goodbye or farewell, a party would be held. And it'd be an opportunity to say goodbye and to thank those who had been in your life for that short period of time. It was to celebrate the work that was achieved on the field. But these would also be opportunities for the ones who were leaving to tell how valuable the relationship was. Well, as the girls and boys learn what it means to follow Jesus, we're going to be thinking of something similar from Acts chapter 20. And in a few weeks' time, we're going to be holding our annual missionary weekend. And that's when we hear of God's work around the world. And this will be both hopefully an encouragement and a challenge to us. But the one thing we probably won't hear about are the moments in a missionary's life when they have to say goodbye to colleagues and friends. A survey was done by an American mission agency, and they discovered that the hardest moment on the mission field for American missionaries was those times when other missionaries would return home and leave the work that they had been engaged in. And perhaps we don't think about this often. Maybe we don't think of the day-to-day lives of missionaries and what they do and the friends that they need around them. But one of the hardest times in the mission field is truly when we have to say goodbye to people who simply aren't strangers anymore, but our friends, and are more than friends, are our families. They return home for one reason or another, and as they do, there's something within us that it's hard. And when living overseas, the reality is, as we discovered, you join what is a temporary community of expatriates. And these expatriates are guests in a country, in a culture or community, and it's only for a short while. Because the community of friends you build around you become more like family as you share in the joys and in the sorrows of life. So when it comes for their departure to return home, there is genuine sadness, almost grief, as you say goodbye to dear and close friends who have gone through things that you've gone through, who are the only ones perhaps who can understand what it's like to live overseas. And as they leave, you wonder, can you build another friendship like the one leaving? And you know, we experience this time and again. There's always a cycle. And so within the 5 years we were overseas, we had at least 4 winters when we said goodbye. Because in Malawi, there seemed to be a rhythm of people leaving in June, which is a winter month in the southern hemisphere. And the cold days became even colder with all the goodbyes that we had to say. And it would take time to build new friends have been and to hear from the one leaving and their last words to those who were remaining. These were bittersweet times and part of the process of living and serving overseas. I needn't tell you any lie, but I can remember walking into Scripture Union when I said that I'd be leaving and moving to this place called Annalong. Quite helpfully, Cool FM had a drone shot of a beautiful summer's day looking into the harbour of Annalong, and they all looked at this with wow, it was paradise, they described it. But I remember their tears. And it was the first time I saw colleagues cry. But I also remember the farewell party, I remember the one thrown by missionary friends, but I remember the one thrown by our non-Christian friends, and how they sat us down one Sunday afternoon, and they told us what we had meant to them. There were tears from the hardest of rugby players. And we realized for the first time, perhaps, that we had more of an impact on the non-Christian community, the people that we didn't think that we went out to be missionaries among, but yet became, than we realized. And those friendships still continue today. See, times of parting are bittersweet. We know what we have to go on to next, but it's hard to leave the ones whom we've shared life with for such a long period of time. And as we come to this second half of chapter 20, we know there's only another 8 chapters left in Acts. We know that the story is coming to an end. But of course, those who were living it at the time don't. But Paul has a great sense that in this moment, there is sadness and there is joy because he is saying goodbye to people that he spent 2 years and 3 months with. as he taught them, as he instructed them, as he shared in meals with them. And so once again, we see a bittersweet moment as goodbyes are said. Well, we've known from Acts chapter 19 and verse 21 that Paul wants to return to Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost, which by now is getting closer and closer. And since staying in Ephesus, he's traveled through Macedonia, and he stayed 7 days in Troas. And there you have a map that helps you to see where all of that is in the world around it. And of course, you'll remember in Troas, there was a night of slumber. Slumbering Eutychus fell out of the upstairs window, and he was raised to life again. And now, from verses 13 to 16, Paul travels south, initially on foot to Assos, and then by boat through to Miletus. And verse 16 tells us Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. There's an urgency here. Paul knows he needs to keep moving. However he knows he needs to be in Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost, he is making sure that he's going to be there. Pentecost was that great celebration, as it still remains, of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Of course, it was a Jewish festival long before the coming of the Holy Spirit, but now it has greater significance. Paul wants to be where that